Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to Pod on the Tyne, your fully independent Newcastle United podcast. My name's Taylor Payne, and it's an absolute pleasure on this beautiful sunny morning to be joined by Chris Woff and George Corkin. Chris, how the devil are you, sonny?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yes, I saw the Red Arrows on Sunday, and that was basically my contribution to the Great North Run, which we're going to come on to in a second. But no, congratulations to everyone involved. Absolutely wonderful. One of the best weekends in the Northeast, if not the best. And yeah, yes. so many wonderful emotional stories there. So congratulations to everyone.
And George Corkin is here wearing his medal.
Too bloody right.
Of course
right.
He is. You'll be... George, how are you doing? Are you all right? Your legs recovered?
My legs are not too bad, yeah. I went out for a little recovery run yesterday. That was nice. Yeah, you'll prize this medal off my cold, dead body. I can assure you of that. There's been a bit of controversy about this medal, hasn't there?
A little bit, yes.
But my words are on the back of it. I can assure everybody that that's not some part of a Sunderland conspiracy, but it's a gorgeous medal. I'm very, very proud. Very proud of everybody who ran for the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation. Very proud of Sir Bobby's team, which is our group of writers and football people, including Ollie and Boy Wonder Jacob. We ran it in kind of special football shirts. We've just crossed over the £7,000 barrier today, I think. So thank you to everyone who sponsored. Thank you to everybody who shouted at us on the course. And I would like to say a special thank you to David on X, who said, "I was a finish line volunteer. You ran past me in floods of tears." True story. "I came over and gave you a hug and said, well done, and everyone will be proud of you. Not sure any of that registered with you as you were so in the moment. Beautiful to see and hear as a regular Pod on the Tyne listener." So I just wanted to say thank you for David. I don't think any man has ever been in more of need of a hug at that exact minute. It was very, very, very emotional. I always get emotional. If you watch the BBC, you will have then seen me cry
well
on national television. Excellent. Standing next to Kelly Holmes. So well and truly embarrassed myself. But yeah, it's a day that... day that strips me down and builds me back up again. It's a brilliant day. Can't wait for the next one.
In terms of tier levels, how did it compare to previous years? Is it the same? Was it more? Was it less?
I mean, it's very difficult because I don't want to kind of make this all about me, but like those words that I wrote were played on the start line. They were played on the start line when everyone was there. I had to sort of desensitize myself to that a bit.
Yeah,
had all of that sort of stuff going on, but no, I mean, this one has been magnified by the power of a million. I felt so proud that you know, that those words have kind of, you know, they've like effectively become part of Great North Run history. It's like one of, if not the biggest honor of my life, and so by the time I crossed the line, it was all of that stuff was coming out. So there's a lovely picture of me. Well, I say it's a lovely picture. There's a picture of me. I'm kind of holding Brendan Foster's hand in the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation tent afterwards. I've got one of my other hand is like covering my face because I'm crying so much, and he is absolutely laughing his head off.
He looks vaguely terrified as well, and is sort of like a laughing slash, also fearful.
Well, he's hewn from the men should be men school of men. He's not an emotional man, but my God, the event he's created stirs a lot of emotion.
Yeah. Well, I woke up on Sunday morning, the first thing I woke up and I thought, let's just check social media and see how we're getting on. The first thing I saw was your face and heard your voice, and I thought, I cannot get away from this bloke.
No.
But well done, mate. Fantastic effort. And well done to everybody as well who was involved. Producer Ollie, Jacob as well, and all the other guys from Sir Bobby's team. Amazing, amazing stuff. Chris, you've got something you want to share.
Yes, I mean, this is far less consequential, really, in so many ways, but this international break marks a decade since I started covering Newcastle United professionally for the Chronicle for the first few years, and then this, obviously for the Athletic since 2019. And at the end of that international break, my first match covering Newcastle for the Chronicle Journal and Sunday Sun was West Ham away. Newcastle lost 2-0. And I just wanted to very quickly bring back the quiz to ask you, can you name some of the starting 11? Now, we'll just go through this very quickly because you probably won't get many of them. But if you
what
can
year
guess
was
a couple,
it, sorry, Chris? Which year?
This is 2015. This is September 2015.
Okay.
Steve McLaren was manager.
Steve McLaren.
Wijnaldum. Must have played.
Wijnaldum was playing, yes. Moussa Sissoko. Good first guess. Moussa Sissoko, yes. Oh, you're doing all right over here so far.
Mitrovic.
Mitrovic, yeah.
No.
Leon Best. No, hang on. When did
that's
he join?
That's too late.
You're just being silly now, George. God. This is good audio, isn't it?
It's great audio, yeah.
Yeah.
The striker wore the number 9.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm getting all my eras mixed up.
Dwight Gayle.
We had this conversation on Sunday. No, we had this conversation on Sunday that he was there longer than you remembered that he was there.
Papi Cisse was up front. Yeah, of course.
Florian Thauvin was left wing. So you mentioned Wijnaldum was number 10. Moussa Sissoko on the right. Vernon Anita and Jack Colback. Yes, Chancellor Mbemba was centre back. Vernon Anita and Jack Colback were in midfield. Then Mbemba, Colaccini, Jan Mat Hedara, and Tim Krul.
Sadio Haidara, yeah. Very good. There you go.
Quite the different. I mean, that was a decade ago, but it also feels even longer ago in some ways when you list that team out. So.
I just want to question the very notion that you've been covering Newcastle United professionally for any length of time.
Touché.
Yeah, that is the word, isn't it? Right, okay. Let's do some headlines, chaps. 30 seconds or less, please. Two of Newcastle United's England contingent start in Serbian demolition. George, go.
St James's Park used to be a graveyard for international ambitions. It's just incredible to see so many players go off and play for their countries, and for England players to be amongst them is incredible. Anthony Gordon, Tino Livramento, part of what looked like a very, very good England performance against Serbia, 5-0. I haven't watched a single moment of it because I couldn't give a toss, but well done to them. And obviously Dan Burn played against Andorra too, so well done to him.
Brilliant stuff. Chris, speaking of international games, your favourite subject. Sandro Tonali, injury time winner for Italy.
Yes, this is quite extraordinary scoreline in the end. 5-4 for Italy over Israel. Italy led three times, I think, including they were 4-3 up going into... 4-2 up going into injury time, and then two late goals from Israel, only for Sandro Tonali to pop up with the winner. So yeah, huge. He's been praised in the Italian media. Big result for Italy. It puts them second in Group I, I think it is. Whatever that means.
And the Lasses, George, the Lasses win at Forest on the opening day of the new season.
Yes, a 2-1 victory. Brilliant to get the season off to a winning start. Emily Murphy and Molly Pike on her debut scored the goals for Newcastle. There was a bit of a comeback for Forest, but they got over the line. That's very important. That's not something that they were able to do all the time last season. I think they were one of five or six teams to win on the opening day, including Durham, including Sunderland. But yeah, great to get their campaign off to a winning start. Looking forward to their first home game on Sunday.
Lovely stuff. Chris, the rest of the internationals, Dr. Congo played last night, didn't they?
They did. Johan Wissa scored for the second game in succession, but he came off in the 74th minute, we don't believe for an injury, but then they were winning 2-0, DR Congo, and then lost 3-2 in quite dramatic circumstances. Not great for them. Nick Voldemada played twice for Germany. Less said about that, the better, really, for him and Germany. Anthony Alanga played for Sweden, scored a really good goal, but then was also involved in their 2-0 defeat away at Kosovo, which is not ideal. Bruno Guimaraes scored in Brazil's first game, a win over Chile, then give away a penalty against Bolivia, and then Anthony Gordon, Dan Burn, and Tino Livramento, as George has already mentioned. So, yeah.
There we go. And finally, hashtag Big Nick Energy. Voldemada settles in on Tyneside.
Yeah, great to see him here. Obviously, he signed for the club and then went straight off for international duty without doing a training session. Fantastic to see him in pictures with the rest of Eddie Howe's squad. He did provide the assist for one of those goals against Germany, against Northern Ireland, but it did sound like a tough break for him. But he is in his new home. We are excited to see him.
He was on the Quayside, wasn't he? Is it Dude was he at? Was he at one of those? I'm not been there before.
Was it Dude or did he go to Kai Kai, one of our favourite haunts?
I'm not sure. I think it was Dude.
Right, is that when enough. When you go out hobnobbing with the stars, is it, George?
I think I've been known to have a meal there with Alan Shearer in my time, yeah. Sure. Dude is owned by the same people as Kai Kai, and Kai Kai is beautiful Indian food. Would recommend that to anyone.
Of course, other restaurants are available as well.
That's Pelagani Proparaji.
Right then, this stupidly premature international break is now drawn to a close, and we can get back to the proper important stuff of actual football. The window's shut, a certain nameless striker's gone, Eddie Howe's squad is complete, and in some ways, this feels like the real start of the season, doesn't it? In general terms, though, let's talk about the state of the club and the team. This feels like a big contrast to 12 months ago, George.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, if you look at results, perhaps not so much. You know, Newcastle started last season in sort of in different form. They were kind of scratching about and getting results, but not great performances. I think this time there's been some impressive performances in terms of Villa, in terms of Liverpool in particular. But, and of course, you know, the other thing to say is until the window closed, there was this huge layer of uncertainty around the team, around the club. I think now that that's gone, this really is a moment to sort of reset mentally, physically, and go again. There is a real feeling of positivity around the club. Chris and I speak to, you know, people around the first team and the club in general. And I do think that there is a big contrast to how things were a year ago. If you go back then, there was all the PSR debacle. There was that feeling within the dressing room that everybody for a little while had been up for sale. Anthony Gordon, you know, there have been talks with Liverpool. I know this is ancient history, but I do think it's important to mention it. Isak and Chelsea, that had been a thing. And Eddie Howe was really struggling to kind of get everybody back together, to get everybody settled. At the same time, there'd been that upheaval off the pitch in terms of new sporting director Paul Mitchell and the departure of Amanda Staveley and Mirdad Kadusi. And there was real uncertainty. And, you know, talk to people close to Eddie Howe who will tell you until they're kind of blue in the face that people just won't understand how difficult last season was for the head coach and his staff. They brought things round immaculately. The way the team finished the season with the cup win and getting into the Champions League was incredible. But it was such a slog to get there. The feeling now is very different. It's very positive. There's big excitement about David Hopkinson coming in as chief executive. I know there have been lots of conversations between him and Eddie Howe already. David Hopkinson isn't going to have a direct football role, but he is the new figurehead of the club. He's the person who will talk about vision. He'll talk about, you know, the big idea, the ambitions of the club. It's vitally important that position's been filled. It's vitally important that he has a great, solid, positive, productive relationship with Eddie Howe. There's a new sporting director coming in soon. That's very exciting. Isak has gone, draws a line under that, and Newcastle suddenly have great strength and depth in their squad. I do think this is like a big reset moment, and it's very encouraging to talk to all of those people and know that there's a sense of proper positivity about the way that the club is now and moving forward, hopefully.
Just to add very briefly to that, on the back of David Hopkins being appointed, and I wrote the big piece last week, Tommy Stubby from the club has done a very, very good interview with Hopkinson, which has gone down very, very well. Now, I know it's only words for now, and actions and the continuation of communication going forward is vital, but I think that you get a real sense of Hopkinson's enthusiasm for the job. He talks about how he wants to create magic. He talks about the lure of Newcastle and what he believes can be achieved here, but also the fact that he clearly wants to put down roots here. He's moved across, he's buying a house, he's going to get married on Tyneside. We mentioned his dog Lou last week, Chiweenie, but also he even talks about, and I had heard this story before, but basically the piece starts with Hopkinson talking about on the opening weekend of the season, he knew he was going to be chief executive, but obviously it hadn't been confirmed by then. He went to watch Newcastle against Aston Villa in New York at Peter Dillon's Irish Bar, which is where a lot of Newcastle fans go. He went almost covert in terms of nobody really knew who he was at that stage. Obviously he couldn't do that now without people recognising who he is. But also he sort of, when he came across to view St. James's Park and the training ground a few months ago, he bought a cap from St. James's Park, and Newcastle United cap, and was sort of walking through Central Park and has been recognised there before as well. So this is someone who really wants to put down roots, and hopefully, as I say, the actions end up speaking louder than the words. It feels like to have that is symbolic but important, and just to have that sort of change of narrative really, and someone who's enthused and excited about the direction of travel. Hopefully that works out as suggested it will.
So outside of all that behind-the-scenes stuff, the big talking point, chaps, really is strikers, isn't it? Wissa and Valtamada. Who's going to start? What is the thinking and the strategy going forward, George? What do we think?
Yeah, I mean, I do think this is fascinating. Chris and I are of a similar mind on this. I think Wissa would be in... or Wissa, as I suppose I...
You've now got to call him Wissa.
That's his... It's quite difficult. One's Wissa and one's Valda.
Valtamada, yeah.
Valtamada.
This was when my brother was kicking off about me calling... Memes. he was more bothered about the fact that, yeah, because when Johan Wissa joined, he clarified in a video, I think it was on Instagram, that it is pronounced as a W, and it's a V for Valtamada. So yeah, we need to try.
So that's Valtamada and Wissa. I think going forward, that's what we'll definitely call them.
Yeah.
Valtamada and Wissa, yeah.
Valtamada and Wissa. I think it was kind of big relief at the end of the window that they brought in Wissa as well, because I think there would have been a bit of concern about, well, only having one frontline striker. That's not enough for a club of Newcastle size with all these competitions in front of them. But also somebody who... doesn't have experience in the Premier League, who does have this very different profile as a forward. I think we as fans, people who watch the team, are going to have to kind of get used to his skill set. His teammates certainly are. He's very different. You know, it sort of reminds me a little bit of when Isak came in and was vying with Callum Wilson at the time for a goal. I mean, I love that competition. They were both pissed off at the same time. One coming off angry, one coming on angry. You know, very different players. And, you know, you watched Isak at the start and he wasn't a number nine. And I was watching him thinking, I'm not entirely sure what he is. I'm not sure what he does. I mean, like, brilliant on the ball. Shows my football knowledge for what it is, which is desperately limited. And of course, by the end, he's an incredible, you know, modern forward. I think this gives Newcastle time. I love the Wissa signing. What I love about the Wissa signing is that the club have done something. They've genuinely replaced Callum Wilson in the sense that they've brought in an experienced centre forward. I think we've become conditioned, you know, to think that if you're not 23 or 24, then somehow you're inferior as a footballer. You look at what Newcastle have done over the past few years. If you name some of the most important signings, it's Kieran Trippier, it's Dan Burn. Look at what they've brought to the team, not just in the here and now. Look at what they've brought to the squad, the experience. Newcastle, let's make no bones about it, have overpaid for Wissa. They've paid double what they, you know, initially set out to try and buy him for. But his value doesn't just come in what he does on the pitch. It's how he can improve the players around him. And I love those kind of signings. You've got to have a bit of experience in there. And I would expect him to start against Wolves. That would be my expectation.
But just on that, in terms of Newcastle may have downgraded in terms of they've lost Alexander Isak, but it's actually an upgrade on what Callum Wilson was for the last 18 months of his time 100%. At Newcastle. Callum Wilson, for the first 2-3 years he was at Newcastle, was a wonderful striker. But actually, if Wissa is Wilson's replacement, then he's actually an upgrade on what Wilson could offer, really, in terms of availability. His availability is very good. And just his goal scoring last season. Callum Wilson didn't score a Premier League goal, partly because Alexander Isak was playing so much, but he also didn't really contribute, whereas Wissa scored 19 from open play. So
one of the things I loved about Wissa as well was when I was watching his highlight reel and stuff like that, was the different types of goals he would score. He's not just a penalty box striker or playing on the shoulder. He's getting headers, he's running in behind, he's working the channels. He's doing all of those things that you know, that Isak was doing as well. But his finishing is excellent. He's such a good finisher as well. I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, I am too. And yeah, that thing of not being over-reliant on one player, and particularly a player that Newcastle have paid a huge amount of money for, and you know, doesn't know the Premier League. I think even last season, at the end of last season, Alexander Isak kept scoring goals for Newcastle, but his form dipped off. There was no one to push him, and everybody needs to be pushed. And I think the fact is that now Newcastle have got that in the squad. They've got that across pretty much every position. You know, I love the fact that they all seem to have this kind of great relationship, but you want them to be bursting to get into the team,
yeah.
to get one over on their mates, to be starting regularly. You need that competition. Last time Newcastle were in the Champions League, you saw what their resources were like. There just weren't enough options. Newcastle now have a great variety of options across all positions, and I think those relationships up front will be really exciting. I mean, I'm excited about seeing Anthony Elanga and what he can do for Newcastle's forwards, because he obviously hasn't had a chance to sort of do that so far. You know, how will it work with a, you know, no offence to Willisula, but how will it look to have a sort of experienced centre forward on the pitch, or forward on the pitch? It's going to be a very interesting dynamic moving forward. I would expect Wissa to start, and hopefully he can hit the ground running.
Chris, Nick Voldemar has been on Tyneside as well, training with Eddie Howe and the lads for the first time. He didn't look massively sharp for Germany, did he, at the through the weekend and through the week? But, you know, obviously the signs there, he's a very, very talented player.
I mean, I didn't watch either of the games live. I have seen some of the, I was going to say highlights, but probably wasn't. There weren't many highlights from a Germany perspective. No. Certainly, the first game. No, I mean, Voldemort got the assist. It was a nice little pass through for the opening goal against Northern Ireland on Sunday. But it was a difficult day for him. I think that the suggestion is that Germany didn't necessarily play to his strengths, having Wirtz behind him, whereas Voldemort likes to drop deeper. The thing with Voldemort, and the reason why I agree with George, and I've written about this in a Q&A on the Athletic this week, that I expect Wissa to start, but neither has trained with a teammate until this week. Voldemort came back to Tyneside and was pictured training yesterday on Tuesday, so he is going to have a few days, whereas Wissa presumably is not going to be back until, I mean, Dio Congo was yesterday, we're speaking on Wednesday morning, so presumably he's not going to be back till Thursday.
I remember as well, Wissa hasn't really had a pre-season.
Yeah, he hasn't had a pre-season, which is why I assume he came off early for Dio Congo, but I still think, in all likelihood, you would go with Wissa starting, and if it's 60 minutes or whatever he can last with, to try and get that goal. Saturday is an important match for Newcastle. They need a win, really, to gather some positive momentum again, and it feels important in that regard. He may not have played for Brentford and really had a full pre-season, but he has had a little bit of run out for DR Congo, and I think that just in terms of who you'd look for to potentially get the goal, get on the end of all the crosses that have been the first few games, I would go for Wissa, I think.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that people inside the dressing room around the first team are saying about Voldemort is that they love his attitude. So the smile that you see on his face in all the pictures is a reflection of who he is. He seems very comfortable in his own skin. They don't want to demand too much of him from the start. They want, you know, they want to be able to kind of ease him in, but he's got this attitude that, you know, my teammates have always loved me. They're going to love me here. I'm relaxed. I'm going to have some fun. You know, that's not everything, of course, but he's got kind of broad shoulders. And the feeling seems to be that because he's, you know, because he looks different, because he's so tall, he's comfortable in his own skin. And I think that, you know, I think being able to sort of handle that move, being able to handle the pressure behind a big move is a big part of it, and people like what they've seen so far. Apparently he's got a lovely attitude. I've said this on the pod, I think, a couple of times now. Having players who want to be at Newcastle,
yeah,
it feels like a sort of statement of the obvious, but the whole narrative of the summer is about being someone who doesn't want to be there anymore. I think the fact that Newcastle have players who want to be there, we've seen that in terms of the performances so far, but seeing it in the new players as well, that's lovely. Hopefully he can do it on the pitch, but you know, I don't think you know, people at the club should be kind of concerned that he's going to be judged from the off. The fact he wants to be here, there'll be patience. He'll get his chance. Hopefully he can take it.
Chris, do we have any injury concerns after the international break? Obviously, Anthony Gordon's still suspended, but what about Joe Linton and Jacob Ramsey?
Well, Joe Linton, his injury was not as serious as first feared, the injury suffered against Liverpool, but Howe suggested he may be back immediately after the national break, or certainly early after it. I don't have an update yet, but hopefully he'll be in contention. Same with Jacob Ramsey. They didn't think that was serious. That was sort of a twisted ankle, really. And so I think both are going to be in and around being in contention for it. The only question mark is, again, yeah, about Johan Wisser. But hopefully, as I say, there is no actual suggestion. I haven't seen anything official from DR Congo. I've asked the question as well as to whether he came off with an injury. And I think it's more sort of fitness related, really, in terms of the output he's had, given his lack of pre-season and lack of minutes before that.
So should we be worried about the opposition, George? Yeah, Strand Larsen will probably score, won't he?
Well, that's another little sort of interesting subplot to that match, isn't it? That Newcastle were in for Strand Larsen. Wolves are now talking about giving him a new contract, I think. I'm sure if he plays, he'll have a point to prove. Wolves as a whole have a point to prove. It's been a very tough start to the season for them. Three defeats in a row in the Premier League. They beat West Ham in the League Cup, but it's been a pretty brutal start to the season. They obviously avoided relegation last time around and had a great run of form towards the end of the season, but otherwise it wasn't great. And they kind of already look like they're circling the drain a bit. Should we be worried about them? No, I mean, not in those terms. Newcastle should be looking at that game thinking, that's our first 3 points. Yeah. I think there is that feeling. I talked about the positivity around the team and around the club, and I think that's genuine, but there is also that very obvious but sort of strong thought that they need a win. They need a win, they want a win. Ideally, they get some goals, because that's the thing that's been sort of missing by and large. Preferably, a striker gets a goal or two, because that would sort of calm everything down. Once Newcastle have that first win under their belt, I think it snowballs from there. That's the thought. Go into the Barcelona game with a bit of momentum. So it's a classic banana skin kind of game, but there's no reason for Newcastle not to be taking it on with great confidence.
As mentioned earlier on, Chris, Newcastle have actually been performing quite well, haven't they? Villa and Liverpool, obviously, it was seventh in Opta's expected points table, whatever one of those
what?
Is.
What?
Is that what happens there?
I've just got my head around expected goals. I mean, I've even been known to mention expected goals.
That could be good enough for an expected Europa League place, though, depending on what happens in the other expected cup finals, George.
What is an expected point?
Well, I think it's on the basis of if you used XG to decide a match, and then that would be. But yes, I agree. It's all a bit
ludicrous. Let's just get rid of football and just do that, Chris. It's easier, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is Newcastle have got 2 points from their opening three games. They lost their opening home match, and they have lost their last home match of last season. They've never lost 3 in a row at home under Eddie Howe in the Premier League. So they need to try and right that. I agree with George. I should go into it with big confidence. But it also feels like it is a big week, not only because they have a huge Champions League match on the Thursday night, they also then go to Bournemouth on the following Sunday, which looks like a very tricky fixture. So this feels like an important tone-setting week, really, for Newcastle. They've had the disruption of the summer. They've had the first three matches where they have played well. They should have probably won at Villa, should have got at least a point against Liverpool. Leeds was basically neither side, I thought, deserved to win or lose. It was just such a bad game. it felt like a game too far for everyone, that Newcastle needed that international break. But now, all of those distractions can be put behind them, and they need to try and get some momentum, because they have a lot of matches in this short period of time, but also that next international break at the start of October is not that far away, and so you don't want to be getting to there still stuttering. You want to have some decent points on the board just to quiet down all that noise, really.
I totally agree with that. I mean, this is the kind of week that Newcastle have wanted. I mean, this is what they've earned. It's what they've strived for. It is tough. You do go back to the end of last season where they won the cup, and amazingly they kept winning, you know, after all that sort of emotional outpouring, first domestic trophy for 70 years, and they kept doing it. They've got to start doing it again now. It's going to be an interesting and different test. Howe has already talked about using a squad more. Will we see that this weekend? Will we see it against Barcelona? Do we see it against Bournemouth? How much will he shift things around? Can you keep that same level of intensity against, you know, these, you know, in different competitions, against very different opponents, playing in different ways it's going to be an absolutely fascinating few games, isn't it?
It certainly is. We've had a message as well from Sam. Hi, Pod and the Tyne, a lifelong Newcastle fan growing up in Warrington. I'm finally going to my first home match since pre-lockdown. I can't wait. Here's hoping Eddie and the boys can get the season rolling with a win and some goals for the new lads. Enjoy, Sam. Hope you have a fantastic day.
Yeah, have a great
very much have so. A great time. I thought as you were reading that out, you were going to say he was a lifelong listener. I was going to say, what, was he 6 or 7 years old?
Don't listen to this if you're a child, please. If you are a child, step away from the podcast device and go and play with your Lego, something like that. Yeah. Sheffield United at home for the Lasses. First match at Gateshead International Stadium and on the grass as well. A new era, George.
I mean, how many new eras do the Lasses get? I mean, it feels like every couple of months there's a new era. There's been so much change for them. But yeah, this is very exciting. You know, I think they've loved playing at Kingston Park. It's been a great home for them. It's been very nice. You kind of settled into a routine there. This will be a new experience. And yeah, a new home. I'll be going, looking forward to that. And yeah, playing on the grass. I mean, I know that the artificial pitch has been a challenge for them. It's not what you want to play on as a player. And you know, being able to kind of do it on the grass is exciting and different. Of course, it's a prerequisite for playing in the top division. You have to have a grass pitch. So I'm not sure what the arrangement is with Gateshead, but that, you know, that certainly sort of solves that problem. And yeah, Tyneside will get to see the new version of the team. I mean, I was doing the Great North Run when the first game was going on, or recovering from it. And you look through the list of players and it's like, oh God, there's so many new names, so many new faces. Yeah. Got to get to know them and, you know, kind of fall in love with them. So yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a different match day experience, but we'll be there and we'll be reporting back for the pod next week.
Yes, the opponents of that first game, Sheffield United, they lost their first match to Sunderland 4-0 as well. And Newcastle in their first game, Chris, they came out winners 2-1 against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, a big start of the season. Newcastle were 2-0 up at half-time. Emily Murphy, after a very good season last year, starting with a goal. And then Molly Pike on her debut. I mean, Kirsty Smith scored in the second half for Forest Women. I think it was close in the second half and Newcastle had to see it out. But huge to start with a win. That's what they needed to do going away from home. And so hopefully they carry that momentum forward and can really make the Gateshead, which is their new home, into a bit of a fortress. It'll be on the grass, as George said. That's a completely new dynamic for them. But hopefully in some ways it may actually suit them and really benefit them rather than having to sort of switch surface on an almost weekly basis.
We have to mention Demi Stokes as well, George, who's been named club captain before the match. He was on the bench against Forest, though, but yeah, a new club captain there.
Yeah, obviously, Demi Stokes replaces, I guess, Amber Keegan, our mate, and Grace Donnelly, our other mate, as captain. I mean, it does sort of show the level of competition that there is there now in the team that Demi Stokes wasn't in the starting 11, albeit she came on. And Chris ran through the Forest game. I mean, one of those things that was the big lesson from last season was seeing out matches. It was the thing that cost Newcastle a lot of points last time. They acquitted themselves really, really well at their first season at that level, but it was that kind of streetwise thing that they lacked a bit of a lack of experience. What they do have now is they have experience. You look at some of the signings they've made, whether it's Morgan Gautrat, whether it's Jordan Nobbs. I mean, there was huge experience there. People who know how to win matches, to see matches out, that is going to be crucial. Just a little reminder to people, this is a massive season because it's a season in which there are two automatic places, promotion places, potentially three promotion places up for grabs. It's massive for Newcastle. They are focusing on top place, but you know, there is a bit of a safety net this time. So they got off to a winning start. That's really good. They're one of six teams to win their first match. And yeah, great opportunity to follow it up with another one.
Absolutely. Right then, another little email here. As a lifelong Newcastle supporter and proud Canadian, I just about spilled my timmies when I heard David Hopkinson was joining the club.
What does that mean?
Spilled my timmies. I presume timmies is some sort of branded drink, the Canadian drink.
Well, we need to find that out.
Hmm. Or it's some sort of disgusting euphemism.
Spill my timmies.
What a brilliant movie, says. Now, the real question is, with a Canuck at the helm, how long before we get poutine at St. James's Park? I'm talking gravy rivers and cheese curd avalanches in the Gallagher end. Yum. P.S. My mum's side is from Durham, so hearing Taylor's accent is like a warm hug from home. Notice he doesn't mention either of your accents. That's because you've both lost your accents, you scenty-bottled prats.
Wow. Spilt my timmies.
Up the Canuck mags. Cheers from Alberta, Tony.
Well done, Tony. I do like a bit of poutine, I have to say.
I don't think I've ever had poutine.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I mean,
Sounds like it is, yeah. Cheese and gravy.
Chips, cheese, gravy. I mean, it hits...
Oh, actually, now you say that.
It hits all the nutritional boxes. Hits all the boxes? What am I trying to say? I nearly spilt my timmies when I said that. What does that mean? I don't think I want to know what that means. Do I want to know what that means?
I don't know if you do.
Spilt my timmies.
Reference to Tim Horton's coffee shop, I suspect.
Oh.
All right, okay.
That's a con to Ollie.
That's a note from producer Ollie. Yeah, great donuts, apparently. There you go. Right then, we're rattling the shows out at a rate of knots at the minute, aren't we? So please go back and listen to any episodes you've missed. There's been some really good stuff in there recently. Email us podonthetyne@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, X and Blue Sky @podonthetyne. Give us a rating and a review on your podcast outlet of choice. Right then, chaps, anything else to mention, talk about, discuss, argue about before we finish?
I think I'm all talked out, Taylor.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Just to... me neither. Just to reiterate when you've said about going back and listening to previous episodes, obviously we are independent now, and so every single listen is important to finance the production of this show and to allow us to do this. And moving forward, we've mentioned previously, we will be having some additional content, which you could pay for or go behind a paywall to be able to make sure that you don't have any adverts. Hopefully we'll be announcing something exciting on that front in the not-too-distant future because, yeah, basically we are independent and there are costs behind this show. So please, yeah, your support so far has been wonderful and please keep going with it.
Absolutely. Chris's pork bill is through the roof, so we really need to manage that, don't we? Chris, speaking of which, what's that football shirt you're wearing today?
Well, this is actually one I'm quite disappointed by because I don't usually go for the big ones, but this is a Real Madrid shirt, unfortunately.
That's a shame, isn't it? That's a shame. Okay, you've let me down there. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Cheers, George, for your time.
Thank you. And yeah, look forward to chatting to you again for our match day pod against Wolves.
And thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, toodaloo.
Toodle pip. And thank you to all of you out there as well. Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we shall speak to you very soon from everybody at Pod on the Tyne. Take care. Goodbye. Newcastle, of course.